Well, Mayor, thank you for the honor or the obligation. I'm not sure which that is, but this is a little bit different. We've certainly heard a lot about water this morning, and I think it was a good session. I wasn't sure what to expect. But as far as the retreat goes, this really is an opportunity, I hope, for the council to share some of their hopes and aspirations and needs and concerns of the city. We know we're going to have an opportunity, I think, to hear from all the departments a little later on in the budgetary process. But I asked, in all candor and simplicity, I just put this in alphabetical order, so there was no rhyme or reason to that necessarily. I guess I am in the middle of that when it comes alphabetically, but that wasn't the intent. If it isn't, I'd been the end, so I could have done the curtain call. But with that in mind, I guess we'll start with Councilman Cox. And please, I don't know how you want to structure this, whether you want, if questions people have, you want them to talk, or you just want them to lay it out there. How do you want to do it?
I'll just list my board items. I want to have a discussion.
Oh, your mic's not on.
It's not going to be that long for mine. So.
Well, good, then I can make up for it, because mine's long.
I have some pretty broad strokes. So
great. So we'll hear from Councilman Cox first.
So they asked if we wanted to see what our vision or our idea or what we wanted to see with the city. And I've been here a little over a year now, so I kind of been around the block a little bit. But my focus is on our needs first, and our wants are secondary. We need to water, public safety, infrastructure, and we need to focus on that budgetarily and otherwise, and have the wants come from a different place unless we have excess. And some example of that is more.
What was your third? Infrastructure? Water,
yeah,
public safety?
Water, public safety, infrastructure.
Thank you.
And as far as wants, I want to make a model of that with the Cross Hollow Arena. $2.2 million was raised from private citizens and grants and organizations to do that, because they have a passion. And so if other people have wants or passions about something, then they need to come to the table, I think, to make some of these things happen instead of just expecting it to be done. And so that is a great example to me of how we can come together as citizens with something we're passionate about and be a partner with the city government to make these things happen. And so I think we need to encourage that more. If people are passionate about ball courts, then bring your passion and your dollars to the table and let's talk, or parks or whatever it may be. So I think the other thing is, not that I'm looking at Doge, but looking for opportunities for efficiencies. I think sometimes we pay way too much for some things, and we, on the other side of that, we have a lot of talent and skill that we could do it. And one example that I bring up with that is the out at the waste at the sewer treatment facility. Our crews put in that filtration system and the fittings and the pipe and everything else, and we saved literally I think $1 million because they had the skill to do it. And so sometimes I think we look to the outside and spend more when we can do it on the inside. I think, and maybe he works too hard and doesn't have enough time, but, you know, the engineers, I think Jonathan could design a lot of our water projects, and save us a lot of. Every time I see these whole studies and surveys and engineering things, I'm just like, oh, my gosh, we got to spend this much money just to think about getting started. And so. But then I think there's some other opportunities to maybe look more at private. And so I think we need to look at some modes of efficiency, whether it be utilizing our talent inside the city more or subbing that out or making things completely on the outside so we don't have to go through all the things that the government does to get things done. So
I think in the construction industry we call that value engineering.
Exactly. Correct. Other than that, I really don't have a lot of things that I would say further. Other than, I think, I'm glad to work with both the staff and the council. I think they have the interest of the city in their best interest. And I think it's a great place to live, and I hope we can just do what it takes to just make it better and get what we need. So.
And your assignments on the council are?
I'm on the Planning Commission, and I'm also on the LHC, the Local Homeless Council. I was looking for the acronym. Yes. So.
He's doing a good job there, by the way.
Thank you. Anybody here have any? Thing they would like to on those along those lines. I appreciate what you have said about value engineering. You know, we talk about, you know, how we're doing these chambers out by the Canyon View High School, and we're going to dig the hole, and we're going to stick them in, and we're going to cover them with dirt, and we bought them at a good price, and it's they're good, they're going, and it's all going to happen. There are things we can do, but we have to be careful. And make sure that, you know, I've got so many projects for Eric. I mean, I'm the value engineering dude of the world, and we make sure that we're taking care of things. But, you know, in plow much snow, there were several things we could have done this winter. If we could have done them this winter, it would have been great. But now we're into the spring cleanup, and so we have to be respectful of all of his other jobs. But I agree with you 100%.
A prime example of that, in the sketch review meeting yesterday, there's a project that's looking to potentially be built right next to Canyon View Middle School. And in the discussion on the detention basin, they talked about this project that we're doing and said maybe we can work together so we can, we certainly don't want to have this flood water go into your project, but maybe we can help because we're doing this one. So there's, again, an opportunity to sort of look at ways to bring efficiency and maybe less red tape. I don't know. Yeah.
Is that you're going to dig a big hole? You're going to take the dirt out to the Canyon Park, out to Fiddler's Canyon, put it in so we can stick it in the hole whenever we get our engineering done?
If it tests good? We're
going to
test it and use it for
the
berm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we need a berm.
You know, smart stuff. You get people who know their stuff. They love to have a little leeway to figure things out, don't you, Eric?
Okay. I guess anything else there, Robert? Well, if things come up, please, we have dialogue here. I guess, right, Councilman Melling, you're next. You're the alphabetical order.
You know, that's a new thing in my life. I was always close to the end in class, but...
based off height, not last
time. Yeah, that too. I guess just a little bit of personal privilege, just to kind of give some context to some of my concerns and remarks. You know, as many already know, my time on this council is going to be pretty short. I'm going to be moving out of city limits in September, October timeframe or so. I'm going to keep working hard for the city in the meantime, but I really appreciate my fellow council members, mayor, staff, you know, over the last few years, you know, just had my whole life and my long-term goals turned upside down with some serious health issues come up. And even though I've got some of it in remission and I can walk now and you know, my prognosis is pretty good, I can't live in an old house with steep stairs anymore. So the best place to do that is out by the new ice rink in Enoch is where we're going to be moving to, and it'll be a good chapter for our family and as I continue to navigate some of these long-term health issues.
Eat a few more gummies and stay well.
Right. And they, I really appreciate, you know, the patience everybody's had as we've been working through all of this but even though I'll be leaving the city limits, I do want to ensure that, you know, the city is left in good hands and that we're continuing to work toward goals, because at the end of the day, I mean, I'll still work here. My kids will still go to school in Cedar City. This is where my roots are. And I hope that, you know, my children will have the opportunity to live and work here and raise their own families here as well. There are a lot of barriers to that dream that we, you know, constantly are working toward. We spent the bulk of the day talking about water, and you know, that's always going to be a concern. I'll continue to serve through the water district as well, and try to help secure those resources going forward. But you know, we just need to keep looking at. Really, it's all issues. It comes down to economics. Are we assessing the right fee to the right people for the right reasons in order to fund what we need in the future? And I think we've made great strides toward that, and we need to keep working on that. Outside of water, long term, a lot of our budgetary issues as a city are going to continue to be related to land use. We are, last I had checked, I believe it was the second least densely populated city over 20,000 people in the state. And that means far more infrastructure per resident that we have to pay for to maintain. And that puts a strain on our police, on our fire, on our public works, and in having accessible recreational amenities close to people's homes as we get more and more spread out. So along the land use side, you know, I'd still like us to continue working toward finding ways to make better use of what we have while staying within the unit, you know, the units that we're planning for, to make sure that, you know, if we've planned an area infrastructure wise and we're charging fees based on a certain amount of units and use in an area, that that we're able to lay those units out well and efficiently, so that we're maximizing the use of that infrastructure, but also keeping in mind quality of life. I'd like to see, as we keep moving forward, better incentives for whether we work with our planning department and look at staffing there to see if we need a little more help, or even a third party look at it. Better tools to be able to incentivize those that are contributing to growth, offsetting some of the negative impacts of that, and ensuring that the new developments are a good place to live and not just to sleep. I want to One of the things that we kind of get into with that and with some of our commercial development is parking. I do want to take another look. Mr. Fugel and I had a little bit of a conversation as well about some of the things we can do on that in that regard. But coming with that is some of the civil enforcement. I know we budgeted for software last year, and I just personally haven't had the bandwidth to get that system, you know, help in getting that up and running. But I would love to see us keep working toward that goal, because I think there are a lot of things in our city that we don't want to, nor should we, enforce criminally that could really help with quality of life and how it feels to live here if we have a means to enforce them without using the criminal system.
And that's using the public. That's allowing the public into this system.
Well, sort of. I mean, largely just allowing, you know, civil enforcement officers, you know, say like, you know, say a student worker that has been trained on a system can, you know, for much less cost than someone who's gone through post and much less of a waste of those resources can go through and write a civil citation that's largely handled through software. As long as we have the due process in there, we can go a long way toward, you know, improving traffic safety that way, minimizing the waste of resources when we do get those traffic counts off a little bit. And if there's overflow, that it's not overflowing where we don't want it. and also helping our downtown area. I think that's going to be critical. And then just one little plug, and it came up some time ago, and I might dare to bring it up again before I leave. But
I can't wait.
But I personally just think it's a shame that we allow people to have cats and dogs, and if they have a couple goats, they are so much quieter and nicer and less smelly. As long as you don't let the boys keep them intact, you know, you gotta snip the boys and you know, FFA animals. You know, if it's one or two, people should be allowed that. They can have their cats, they can have their dogs. Why can't they have their goats? So, anyway, I might dare to bring that back through because it's funny, we claim to love our rural heritage and yet we don't. And most importantly, I think the first time we asked Mr. McCune to enforce what's on our books and charge someone with a Class B misdemeanor for having a goat, we're going to have a little bit of a riot on our hands, maybe some pitchforks. So let's that may come through. Anyway, so those are my things. I think everything else, I really appreciate our staff, our department heads. They, you know, all other regards with the city, if your department was not mentioned, it's because I think you're doing a fine job, and I think the policies are fine. And there are, you know, a couple other things we need to work with on our, you know, fire system funding. Chief Phillips, you know, we've talked about that a little bit too, some other funding opportunities that, you know, as a people, we beat the crap out of our county commissioners for doing a sales tax to fund a jail facility. We may be asking them to do something similar for some of our fire resources. And at the end of the day, people need insurance, and they need to be able to feel like they're going to be safe if there is something that goes wrong. And I guess I'll close my assignments. I don't have many. None of my official city assignments are water related. I don't know. Well, I was put on the Water Conservancy Board without the mayor's consultation or consent. It was this one or the prior. It was. It was more of an at-large appointment, but I was placed on the Frontier Homestead Board. That one's near and dear to my heart. We've got some family exhibits there, and anyway, appreciate helping there. And the RAP Tax Arts Committee as well, and we'll be meeting here in June on that and see what we need to do and some of the policy changes there. Appreciate council support on ensuring there's funding going forward. Cats. No, I'm not on cats anymore. That,
cats and dogs.
Yeah, so actually that's it. I have a pretty light committee load.
So I just want to make a comment on the cats and dogs and goats. Mm-hmm. So I was very involved in the chicken policy, and there was a trial period. And in that trial period, there's only one call on the chicken, and it involved a dog.
Anything else, Councilman? Any comments regarding Councilman Melling's thoughts or anything from staff or anyone? Okay, I guess we've come to me. So I appreciate my colleagues deeding their time over to me because I'm going to be taking more time, and I apologize. But I had to write it out because at my age as a senior councilman, I'm constantly reminded that if I didn't write it out, I might forget it. So bear with me as I read through this, and Renan, you can rest because I have it all typed out, and I will send you a copy once we are through with our meetings today. I think I've got it large enough that I don't need my glasses, I hope. So let me begin by first of all saying how grateful I am to be here, to live in this place, and I'm honored to serve the citizens of Cedar City. You won't hear about water from me, as it's been covered by all of us for many hours earlier today. However, I am deeply committed to help solve the long-term water needs of our city. What you're going to be hearing from me today is some of my vision, projects, and personnel needs I believe necessary for us to become a stronger city. We shouldn't forget the tremendous improvements we've made and the challenges we have overcome as a city during, at least I know, my tenure on the council. I can't certainly speak for the councils before me. As I share my vision and some of my wishes for the city and its needs, let me be perfectly clear, we have a great city and we have dedicated employees. We are fortunate to be discussing growth challenges and not trying to figure out how to save a dying city. As long as as our city, oh my God, I could scroll down here. I should forget it too big. As our city has continued to grow, it has been put increased strain on all facets of city services. I believe the administration, staff, mayor, and council have worked hard to make sure improved conditions were in place to support much of the strain departments are feeling. However, we're not done. We must continue to be committed to making sure our city grows with dignity, sustainability, and character in an effort to help set us apart. Cedar City has every opportunity to become the next great city in this state. We must never settle for second class. We should strive to be a standard by which other cities, businesses, and industries in our region aspire to reach. As our city dreams and builds, so too will our businesses, industries, and our residents. I've appreciated hearing comments from my other council members today, and I share much of those very same thoughts that they have. As you all know, we're involved in public service. We chose to serve, and when we decided to run for office. Politics and public service is the art of possible. To those who are skeptical, criticism is easy and achievement is hard. And we have hard work to do, as we saw this morning and some of the challenges facing us. Mayor and Council, I'd like to begin with some broad brush strokes on my vision for Cedar City and then discuss specifics as it relates to the areas of the city which I have the honor to oversee and serve with dedicated volunteer committee members. I want to first begin with our city employees. As I've expressed before and have heard other council members state, our employees are the city's greatest asset. They are responsible to make this city function day in and day out. Without them, the services and our governance would come to a standstill. We must continue to stand alongside them, give them the resources needed, create sound city policy to support their work, and lastly, provide guidance so they perform their duties to the utmost of their abilities. Our role as community leaders should be setting policy and procedure so that they can succeed, and in turn, we all succeed. My number one priority for our city will always be its employees and their well-being. They and our citizens deserve nothing less. We've lost several key administrative positions and department supervisors over the past several years. That is unfortunate, as we have invested so much time and resources into those people to have them either retire early or leave for greener pastures. We should be the gold standard for public employment. We must make sure that proper respect, compensation, mental health opportunities, and human resource policies support our employees. My next area of concern is our public safety. We need additional support for our public safety personnel. We must continually address these human resource needs. Now is the time to invest in our public safety personnel. I know it's a big lift, but it is a lift that our citizens have asked for and we need. The police department's recent study on retention and recruitment of personnel is a positive step in outlining planning methods to catch up and hopefully stay ahead of those who seek to make our city unsafe and less desirable. Our fire department needs additional facilities. I would encourage us to fund the construction of the South Fire Station and planning for the North Fire Station as soon as feasibly possible. We should continue to work with our state leaders to secure legislation that will support the use of option sales tax voter approved to assist in the construction of fire stations. Perhaps some funding can be secured through a series of grants, both state and federal, such as CDBG funds, bonds, etc. I do want to talk about Main Street Lighting, Kent Fugel. I am pleased we have funded the master plan designed for the streetlight project from approximately 800 North all the way to the South I-15 interchange. It's been a pet project of mine for 6 years. Now I would like to see the project completed. We have yet to finish this year's phase, and we have much more work to do. Speaking of lighting, our city should make an effort, in my opinion, to become a dark sky community. If we can provide proper, safe lighting through our city, and at the same time meet the standards of dark sky communities, it will benefit the quality of life for all of our citizens and enhance tourism. We should look at an ordinance and best practices to assure we can achieve this. I want to talk about our cemetery momentarily. I've spent a lot of time there the last 5 years. Our city cemetery is a treasure, and it must be treated and protected as such. Communities are judged, I believe, by their city parks, libraries, recreational facilities, government buildings, and cemeteries. They tell the world how the city feels about their residents. If we do not have first-class city parks, libraries, recreational facilities, government buildings, and cemeteries, we tell our residents and visitors alike that it just doesn't matter. I will always fight for thoughtful, well-planned, built and maintained city facilities. I came before many of you and urged the investment in our city cemetery for upgrades some years ago in all of its irrigation, landscape development, lighting, and roads. I'm happy to say that that process has started, but we still have much to do. We have completed, or about to complete, two important phases of that master plan city development. We need to make sure that funding continues until it is complete. We need to ensure that beautiful and well-planned landscaping continues to take place in our cemetery. We need to continue the beautiful rock wall fence to the western border of the cemetery along Bicentennial Way. We need to fund the next phase of the columbarium area and surround it with trees and greenery. In addition, I would like to see our historic light poles at key intersections within the cemetery. Too much vandalism and safety concerns exist without them. Transportation. I've appreciated the mayor's continued discussions regarding alternative traffic corridors for our city. I've been advocating for years the need for alternative travel through our city besides Main Street and 200 North. The Transportation Master Plan is a 30,000-foot level, an overview of the current and future infrastructure. However, we must now focus on specific intersections and traffic corridors to start the real work, which we have done on our 100 East project, and I appreciate that. I suggest we begin as soon as possible on a deeper dive into the work and see what we can do. We must continue to work with landowners to open 800 West and Coal Creek Road. We have thousands of residents living in the Northfield area of our city, and we need to provide a more efficient access to 200 North and Southern Utah University. The new interchange on South Main will be a major improvement when completed, but please be aware we'll need to be prepared for headaches during the construction. Active transportation will be enhanced through the very dangerous intersection of Providence Center and Royal Hunt Drive. Bike pathways and dedicated lanes should be added and updated annually as part of street maintenance and upgrades. An active lifestyle will benefit all of our citizens. The Active Transportation Committee, which I have the honor of serving on, is committed to assist staff on helping find funding sources when applicable. Regarding historic downtown, I serve on two committees affecting our historic downtown, both Historic Preservation and the Historic Economic Development Committee. The Historic Preservation Commission is dedicated to preserving our past and ensuring that future generations respect and enjoy the buildings, stories, and history of our ancestors. We must work with local businesses, state, and federal partners to invest in our downtown core and save historic structures. We are continuing to work on education with the community on the importance of historic preservation. We also continue to work on securing a historic downtown district recognized on the National Registry. And we'll be doing some of that in the fall. We need to bury the utility lines that run behind the west side of Main Street businesses from Center Street to 200 North. We need to encourage continued development and improvement along Main Street from Center Street to 200 South, or as my good friend Steve calls it, Midtown. Those two Main Street blocks will soon see positive infusion with the completion of the new Hampton Inn Hotel. But we need to provide funding platforms to encourage increased business development, landscaping, facade improvements, signage, sidewalks, and seating upgrades. I would also like to see our Christmas displays continue to 200 South. We need to continue to work closely with county officials to identify a location and funding streams for a future convention facility in Cedar City. Ideally, this structure and accompanying parking would be located in the downtown commercial area somewhere. We know that property is a premium in the downtown core, but data and research demonstrate that convention facilities of any size are most successful when located in the heart of communities where there is ample lodging, dining, entertainment, and transportation. With our downtown's proximity to SUU, and its meeting facilities and amenities, we should work hand-in-hand with county leaders, SUU, Lodging Association, and tourism personnel to survey the possibility of a convention space in our downtown core, and we must think outside the box. In addition, we need to find ways to establish some downtown residential living for young and old alike. If planned and executed properly, a housing complex in our downtown area could potentially do more to help revitalize Main Street than almost anything else. People are wanting to move downtown, and it will provide a 24-hour life to that district. On to our regional airport. I appreciate all of the mayor's efforts in working and his keen interest in the future of our airport. We are fortunate to receive federal funds. Sorry, Ron, we are fortunate to receive them. I know it's been difficult for you. to secure some needed updates to our terminal building with the new passenger hold room. I believe our meeting with SkyWest leadership last year was key in building commercial flight stability with our existing carrier. However, we must also continue dialogue with other potential carriers. We are doing just that. It is not easy, and I have learned a lot about the airline industry as I continue to serve on the airport board. As the city continues to envision an airport busy with commercial, general aviation, and cargo carriers, along with our partners at SU Aviation Program, we must be thinking of future physical expansion of our airport footprint. We should secure additional property if we're ever to consider expanding our parking or rental car operations. There is a parcel directly south of our current terminal building which is available for sale. By securing that parcel and adding that to the property we currently own, it allows us to dream for the future. It's also a near existing rail. We could create a transportation hub for rail, air, and bus service that provides a gateway to our city, the region, and the Southwest. Our new airport master plan calls for the airport traffic control tower to be built. Our neighbors to the south have secured funding and are in the process of building one in St. George. Our airport has more landings and takeoffs, I know that's not the right term, Tyler, than St. George. We are the third busiest airport in the state of Utah. The proposed control tower would help provide greater safety and comfort for all personnel and programs working at our airport. The concept of a planned and centralized SUU aviation campus at the east side of the airport continues to move forward. This proposed SU Aviation campus would not only help free valuable real estate at our current facility, but would also improve the aesthetics and efficiency at our airport. The city and SUU should continue to work with all appropriate stakeholders to make this a priority of our airport and secure the necessary state, federal, and if necessary, private funding for the construction. The Utah Air National Guard will soon be an important player in the continued evolution of our regional airport. We have an opportunity in working with the state to have additional upgrades done to our infrastructure and secure additional employment for our community with the relocation and expansion of this program to our city. I believe we can make this a win-win situation. Next, I'd like to share some thoughts on the Heritage Theater and the proposed remodel. Jason, you can perk right up here, huh? The Heritage Theater is a cultural highlight in our community. It has become our civic auditorium, if you will, where over 200 events are booked each year. The facility is in need of a much major upgrade, which we discussed at last year's retreat. I appreciate the mayor's and council's support of the remodel project thus far. The $500,000 which we set aside last year was a show of commitment to the project. I'm asking that we consider adding $1 million to the remodel fund this fiscal year. As you all know, we have hired a theater consultant company which will analyze our list of needs and provide cost estimates so we can determine the best path forward. In January of 2028, we plan to close the theater for an approximate six-month period for this remodel. While I have no idea of the cost estimates, I know that several budget cycles will be necessary to make the remodel possible. I'm requesting we allocate $1 million in the 25-26 year for the Heritage Theater and look at the following 2 years for additional sums to support it. The Heritage Theater staff is committed to making the building work for many years to come. This remodel will put our facility in a place where we can assure that happens. Yes, sir.
I talked to Mindy Benson the other night at the talent show.
Uh-huh.
She committed to work with us very closely in that six-month period.
Fantastic.
So that our things can be, they'll work, fit them all in.
Because the music building should be completed by that time.
Their facilities.
That's fantastic. Finally on that, I'd just say our city was forward-thinking when it bonded to construct this facility 25 years ago. Now we must be bold to create a state-of-the-art entertainment venue for the future. I'm nearing the end, I promise. Leisure services. We must continue to acquire land for future parks and recreational facilities before land in key residential areas is not available. I think we've done a good job, and I appreciate, again, the mayor's efforts on Iron West and moving forward on Fiddler's Canyon North. I would like to see us make additional streetscape improvements on the south side of 900 North's approach to our municipal golf course and Thunderbird Gardens. It is a beautiful course, and our approach should match that experience. I want to complete the Industrial Road Trail and rename it. I don't think Industrial Road Trail is what we want to eventually call that. The Historic Preservation Commission and the Active Transportation Committee are exploring some possible names for your consideration, and they will be brought forward, hopefully soon. We need to complete the amenities along the trail that were not funded. Some of the items include the pump track, pollinator guarding, additional lighting, public art, restrooms, and monument relocation. Kent, we might get the restrooms in there maybe if we're lucky, huh? I would like to master plan an upgrade for our Cedar City Main Street Park. We need additional lighting within the park for nighttime safety and activities. I would like to explore a water feature, a small ice skating rink for winter months, and creating a permanent staging area for concerts, performance venues, etc. Let's sit down and brainstorm how our Main Street Park can be improved. Finally, what can we do to protect our canyons? Communities all over the country, and especially in our home state, are working to protect the open spaces that surround them. Cedar Canyon and all the areas along our eastern city border help set Cedar City apart. I would like to encourage us to engage in discussions on how we might go about setting aside community preservation funds, that's just the term I came up with, to acquire land when available in Cedar Canyon to preserve it for future generations. We owe it to our posterity to save the canyon from development. I know this is a big lift, but we have to start somewhere. I'm happy to answer questions or entertain dialogue on my comments, and thank you for the opportunity to serve.
Have you floated the name Old Fort Cedar Trail?
Actually, yes, we did. I think it's called the Fort Cedar Historic Trail or the Fort Cedar Heritage Trail is one of them. There's the railroad Fort Cedar Trail. There's
Just because the
We're going to relocate that monument there.
Well, and the ditch company, you know, that's Old Fort Canal or whatever it's called.
Okay.
So, you know, that's the old fort. Now, some people are going to mispronounce it, and it'll be called the Old Fart Trail, I'm sure, but depending on the age of the users. But
true.
All right.
So I guess anybody have any questions? It will be available online, I promise. Councilman Wilkie. Oh, Councilman Riddle, excuse me.
He was just
I don't
asking
know my you, alphabet.
He just asked if you put a budget to all those things.
No, I'm going to have a master plan study done.
Okay.
Oh, man. So I'm up?
Yes, sir.
I'm pretty sure mine won't be that long, and I do not have it written down. I've thought about this a lot because the first time we had this, I had no idea. I took 37 or 38 seconds, I think, the first one of these that I was at. First off, I am in a similar situation as Councilman Melling. Won't be too long. I'll be building out of the city. And I will not be any longer electable. How about that? But I have...
What does that tell us?
They all want to move out of our city.
It tells us it's too damn hard to build in Cedar City.
I just want a bigger piece that I can have my chickens and my goats run around and nobody gives me any flack about it. And probably chickens and goats are two of the main things there. But I would like to extend my appreciation to the council people that I've served with, and not that I'm done yet. We're not in December. I think I looked. Is it December 19th, our last meeting?
Things like December 11th or something.
Is it? Okay. I was probably wrong. But I'm also very appreciative of Mayor Green, of his willingness to take a lot of flack for the things that he's tried to do. But I'm really appreciative of the staff of Cedar City. Not often, but every time I have made a phone call to a member of the city staff, I have got my questions answered. There has not been any time that I have not called or stepped in or asked a question that the men and women of our city have not responded. I've never had one that I don't think I've even had to call twice, and I'm very appreciative. I have more and a better, greater understanding of what it takes to run our city. I also know about the large amount of non-appreciation that the people who run Cedar City get. I continually hear of why are they not doing this? Why shouldn't they be doing this? And my comment is continually the same. First off, maybe you should ask the people who work for the city. And secondly, maybe you should get in there and pay attention to what they actually do do. Oftentimes, the people who run our city, their hands are tied. They do what they can. I believe they do it very well. And I believe, for the most part, the people of Cedar City have been honored by the way they have been treated by our city staff. And I know I have. I truly have a greater appreciation. As I ran, I didn't really know. Well, I had one issue. Probably most of you know what that issue was. Had to do with the aquatic center. That's what really got me into this, is letting the voters choose where they should spend their money. And that's probably one of the things that I have learned is the hardest thing to do, is where do we spend the money for Cedar City? Just to touch upon some of the same things that have already been touched upon, I truly feel and I don't think I've everybody is I think most people already know water is the largest issue, not just short term, long term. And I think the council and the mayor, the city staff are doing most everything we can to help mitigate or at least help work on and get it, make it better for the citizens of Cedar City. Constantly I hear, oh, yeah, you're just doing that for all the people you're trying to get to move here. My family, my mother's side, literally walked into the Parowan Valley and the Cedar Valley with the first bunch. My family has been here literally since the beginning. And I love Cedar City. I love being here. I have many chances oftentimes to just load up and leave. If any of you know what I do, I'm all over. I have a pretty good small company. And I continually... I'm asked, you know, why don't you just move to this area and we'll give you a job. But I don't, for the reason being, because this is the best place to live. In the bad water years, in the good water years, when it's too hot, when it's too cold, this is the place to live. It's a great place to live, but the great thing about it is the people of Cedar City, literally. The other things that I am very... think we have to spend our time looking at how we can fund them, how we can deal with them, is public safety, infrastructure, and making a quality of life for Cedar City. Now, I think we have a pretty good quality of life. I've spent a little bit of time lately, well, not a little, a lot of time in northern Utah. Man, I'm telling you, I was actually born in Salt Lake. That's one of the worst places there is. I'm sorry. I hate to tell you that, but it is. I've spent some time in California lately. You couldn't get me to move there. And it's not because of the people. It's just this is a better place to live. As far as the committees that I have been asked to be a part of, I am a part of the Economic Development Committee. And I think there's some good things coming up. I think they're working on some things that can make a difference in Cedar City. I think they're continually working on that. I am a part of the Leisure Services Parks and Rec. I would like to extend my appreciation to them for what they do. As you know, and I still think we should be monitoring what's going on at the NCAA wrestling finals. I think we should have it up on the screen. I think we should be watching it. But I love recreation. Every chance I can, I hunt, I fish, played a lot of sports as I grew up, spent a lot of time at the ballparks, a huge amount of time as a kid. And I'm grateful for the way in which we do that. And I think we need to keep looking at and increasing those opportunities for youth. And I appreciate what we do. One of the other committees that I am a part of, and this is very minor, but as you talk to these people, it's kind of a major thing. I am one of the committees that I'm on is it's a committee about disabilities awareness. I had no clue about some of these things. I've had the opportunity lately to spend a little time with Sheriff Carpenter and Chief Adams and talk about some of the things that when we have people who break the law, sometimes or not sometimes, maybe more oftentimes than not, those people have mental disabilities. And hopefully we can do some things to help our police department, our sheriff's department. And some of those people deal with a little bit of how that works out and make it easier for them, if possible. But I would like to, as time goes on, I have not done a very good job at that committee because I didn't know what to do. I was at a huge loss. We've had some people who have come on that committee who are very much better than I'm at that kind of thing, have had some suggestions. And I think we can do some minor things that will help encourage disability awareness in Cedar City and Iron County. I'm trying to think what else I had thought about being touched on. But I really appreciate the people of Cedar City who voted me into office. Hasn't always been fun, and it is not convenient. You know, sometimes we have other things to do in life, but I've been, I don't want to put it in a strange term, but I've been blessed to serve here and been blessed to be around the people who are in this room. If you have any questions for me, I'll be glad to at least give you an answer that's maybe the best of my ability, but thank you for the opportunity.
Comments or questions from
anyone in the audience? If not, we're going to move on to Councilman Wilkie. Thank you, Councilman Riddle.
Perfect. Thank you. I told Renan I would try to take less than 10 minutes, and she's going to hold me to it. So I do have most of mine written down, Renan, but... you know, my wife and I, we moved here, it hasn't even been 10 years yet, 9 years ago, 3 weeks after being married, and we knew essentially only two or three people here in town. And that just, I think it goes to show how Cedar City will give back what you put into it. I mean, in 9 years, we've had all of our children here. I've built successful business. I've made it to the city council. I mean, those are all things that, it's a very accepting town, and that's one of the things that I really love about Cedar, is if you're willing to come to this town and put your effort into it, this town will give back to you, and it will support you, and it will do everything that you need it to do. And so that's one thing I love probably the most about Cedar. And so I really appreciate earlier today, Councilman Phillips mentioned that, you know, we have focused a lot on water, and as Councilman Riddle said, water is probably... the top priority, but we still have other departments, and we have to remember those departments, especially as we go into this budget cycle. It would be, you know, we could say, hey, let's just take money from here and take money from here and put it all to water, but that's not what I feel we're going to be able or should do. So, and then kind of going along with what Councilman Cox says, I've kind of prioritized these things based off of starting with the needs and from there going down to the wants. I will not be talking about water as we've talked about them so far. So first one on my list is the South Fire Station and the funding there. And, you know, working with Chief Phillips, I did follow that process pretty well through the legislative session. And it was disappointing that, you know, there was a bill that almost made it across the finish line that would have given us as a city a local sales tax option, both an option at our disposal and an option that would have gone to the voters, and we could have looked at both of those. And we still have other options in that, working with the county. You know, they have some of those capabilities as well. And but one thing that I want to focus on this year is that we really work with those legislators even closer so that next year we know that that bill makes it across the finish line. You know, one of my concerns there, being in the real estate business, I hear maybe a little bit more about it than other people do, but, and also 11 years in the insurance industry, insurance companies are, for lack of better terms, they're starting to wise up a little bit on the ISO score, and they're figuring out that all of Cedar City does not share a same ISO score, which essentially makes your house insurable or not insurable, and to what rate you're going to pay. It's a big part of your rating on how you get rated on your insurance policies. And we now have subdivisions and homes that are over 5 miles away, and that affects your ISO rating. And that means that for some people, you can't get insurance, which then means you can't close on the loan, which then means you can't have the house. So it's becoming a real thing. And especially as we start to move across I-15 out into the Church Canyon area, they're definitely outside that 5 mile, and we've got to, you know, to do something about it. And one step further, though, that I've thought about is as we move through this year, we need to be a little bit better as a city, in my opinion, with developers and with people who want to develop outside that and say, you're taking some of that risk more than we're telling you now. The risk can be on you. You are building outside of an area that we're trying to get there, but it's going to take us some time. So if you're going to go outside that area, you need to be warned that this could fall back on you a little bit. So, you know, police department as well, they've got some staffing issues, and I think we'll hear a lot about that during the budget cycle, and I hope that we can do everything we can to support our men in blue and take care of them and get them the funding that they need. So another one, this one isn't necessarily so much, luckily one thing that doesn't cost money, during my time on the Planning Commission, and I've had a talk with Councilman Cox a little bit about this, and I actually had another Planning Commission member come to me, and, you know, planning and zoning in the years past with the way the subdivisions were done, it was a lot of zoning, 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 and not so much time to do the planning. But now that the state has, you know, we've changed things a little bit and it's more front-loaded on the developer. I hope to see that the Planning Commission have a little less to have to do with zoning, and maybe that'll free up some time. And they can start going through our ordinances, and they can start making suggestions to us on things that, hey, as a Planning Commission, let's do some planning. And they can start to dive into some of those and start making good recommendations. One of the committees that I serve on, being CATS, we're currently working on a study to look at some changes. I've personally met with Mindy Benson, President Benson from SUU. I hope that there's some collaboration that can happen there, and we can work on some new routes and some different funding sources, and we can make that program work. It's, as a person who's had a car since before they were ever 16, it's not, you know, it's not really my wheelhouse. I rode a public bus in Salt Lake a few times as a kid, and it was more for fun than for necessity. But we have citizens here that's their only way to get around. It really is. And so we have to try to look at that. And it's a very expensive thing, and it's so that's kind of one of the tricky things. The next thing, and I've briefly mentioned this with the people, you know, and we'll talk about it again on Wednesday, so I don't want to spend too much time now, but Diamond Z Arena, I think it's crucial that we find the funds, and I think we found the funds, and we'll talk about that on Wednesday to go ahead and do the banquet room. And if we're going to do it, let's just do it right. And I also think that both the county and the private that have put money into that, they were kind of counting on that banquet room, and that was a big part of why they wanted that addition. And so I think we should have finished that and do it right the first time. Fiddler's Canyon Park, things are moving forward. I'm looking forward to it. I'm grateful for that, and I hope that we keep moving along and we can make some real strides this year, and we'll hear the plan, and we'll start to see designs, and we'll just keep moving forward. My last two, one is, this is something that we've mentioned a couple times, both Councilman Phillips and I, and again, this is a year where I know things are going to be tight, and water is the priority, so I have some ideas on how we can start things, and maybe budgetary-wise isn't going to be affected too much, but I really think I did a tour with Chief Adams the beginning of my term a little over a year ago. We went out to the old wastewater treatment plant, and there is so much land out there that we could possibly use this for. I really would like us to look at somewhat of a centralized storage facility for the city. Now, whether that be big metal buildings, whether that be literally we build a storage unit type facility, you know, it doesn't have to be one big building. It can be events gets one storage unit and police gets another storage unit and different departments that need that. And so some of the ideas that I have is, at a minimum, I'd at least to see us start looking at some plans, get input from the different departments on what their needs could be. So then we know, okay, what do we need? Do we need this many square feet? Does a big style building where everybody shares one big building, does that work better? Does it work better if we each have individual 20 by 20 units? I mean, we have stuff scattered in every corner of every spot around the city, and I would like to see us try and, you know, use that land to one of its abilities, which would be to have us store everything, and it's pretty centralized. And then the last one, this one comes from, you know, maybe my personal feelings on it, and I have heard from a lot of citizens, and I've prepared Ken on this, so Ken, if you want to come up, really, where are we headed with Iron West? I know I just keep being told we just need to be patient and patient and patient, but the more I look at the grass, it just gets, in my opinion, worse and worse and worse. And then they went and put, I don't know if you call them the bases, if you call it the first part of the pole, but unfortunately they had to drive across it to install those. So now it's got tire marks and all that stuff going through it. And it's just, I keep having citizens say, what are you guys doing with Iron West? And so really, what's this next year look like for Iron West? Are we even going to be able to play on it this year? Are we next year? How many more years?
Ken Nielsen with Leisure Services. So the light bases did go in January, early February. Those are the bases for future phases of light poles. If they didn't go in now, you were always going to tear it up and probably more. So we made sure that we could get those in as fast as possible. With that being said, yes, there is some renovation work that will need to take place. So kind of our plan, so just so you know, it's probably Anthony and I's concern that we talk about every week. We struggled with the winter because we needed water on it. Anthony seeded it in the fall. We didn't get the moisture that we would like, so we'll probably reseed it. The new position that we funded last year has that complex as one of their priorities. They're going to go roll it next week. It's got to be able to be of the surface grade that we need for soccer, so we can't have those. So with the wind blowing some of that material, we got kind of some rolls. So, and we knew he would. So it's going to have to get rolled. It's going to have to get reseeded. It's going to have some organic matter to it. It's going to have some aeration to it. It's got some work to do, but the Parks is committed to make it, to do all that they can to make it right. And the timeline is difficult because I don't know how fast seed will grow. But we don't want to play on it until that's well established. It's not going to be able to handle the activities of soccer, lacrosse, whatever you're going to put on it with cleats and the things that's going to take place on that. So we don't want to rush it. The budget ask that you folks will see in a few weeks will have a restroom and a parking lot amenity. We need those in place before we think about holding activities. So it has some things to do to make it right, but it's just going to be the concept of the parks guys and all of us making an effort every week to slowly move that along.
And you and I have had this conversation. I don't want to quote, but I don't want to be wrong. So if I'm wrong, correct me on this. But when that was initially put in, what would have been the budget to just sod it from the beginning? Do you remember just to have it?
Several million.
Okay. So as we move forward on other projects, in your opinion, now that we've had it on a big scale like this, is seeding the way to go, or should we just try to sod?
Well, we weren't going to have the funding to seed to sod the whole thing.
Okay.
So it was either going to have to be sodded in fields at a time, or it was going to have to tackle with the seed process. And the seed process, I've talked with those seed experts in my world, which is the golf course guy, Steve Carter, and he said it's doing fairly well as far as seed goes for the timetable. People just want instant grass, and it doesn't work like that. He says the worst thing that happened at the golf course was we played on it too early. So he gave me a window of 18 months to 2 years of letting that seed do its thing. I don't know if that will be sooner or later, but in theory, yeah, you would always like sod, but that's not always the finance way to go about it. So if you looked at our seeding of the cemetery expansion, it's great because it's a smaller area, and it's controlled a little bit. Out there, it has some variations with the wind and weather and all those things, and it's such a large area that it's going to take us a little bit of time to try to manage that and get it where it needs to be.
When did it get seeded? How long has it been?
Reseeded?
No, when did it get seeded originally?
Less than a year ago.
Was it fall or was it spring?
We didn't get it in the fall. We got it in the spring.
It was about this time.
So it was about a year.
It was the end of April.
We're just hitting a year. You're right. Yeah, we're just hitting a year.
So having I planted some seed before, and I'm not surprised at it. What we have is a root system, and that grew last year and developed roots underneath it. The top, what you're seeing that's brown on the top, is the winter. It's the winter. It's the dead grass on the top. But the center, it would have been great if we'd had some snow on top of it to help that root system underneath. We didn't. We just didn't get it. We got a little bit last week, and that was wonderful. And another few weeks, we'll be putting water on it again. We'll get that thing. We'll be pumping and doing it. But it when they roll it out, they grew it tall on purpose to develop a root system. But now it's going to have to be rolled flat. And they'll have to do some reseeding, but there's little seeds coming up in those blank places. They're there. The root system's there. The best thing for grass is a winter. And every winter you get growth underneath it, and that's a good thing. And I think it'll come back. I planted several large plots, and that's what you kind of expect.
Okay. Thanks, Ken.
You bet.
That's it for me.
Thank you.
Sorry, that was a few more than 10 minutes, but pretty close.
It's all right.
Mayor Green, that, I believe, concludes the council's presentation, so I'll turn the time back over to you.
Yeah, I would like to. Since there's not a council member that's actually over, although they've been mentioned, the police and the fire, I thought I'd give him a minute to come and say a word.
They just looked up like, huh?
Well, I mentioned it. And we will hear from him, but down the road, and I have reviewed all of the budget items now as ended last night. I've read that book.
Mike Phillips of the fire department. I'm sure that was fun reading.
No. Most of it was, yeah. Most of it was very fun.
Anyway, if you have questions for me, I'd be willing to answer them. I don't really have much to report on. It's been a busy year. Our call volume continues to increase. Over the last 10 years, it's been like a 158% increase, so it's still on a steady climb. Our people are doing good, and we're out in Texas right now on a wildland fire. We'll see how long that lasts for us. And last year we made just shy of, well, a little over $500,000 from January to January on the wildland program, so it was a good fire season for us.
So I just have a question, and you can give me just ballpark, but what's the return on our investment from going to California, Texas, you know, on those assets we purchased? They basically paid for themselves plus, right?
Yeah, they continue to pay for themselves. We make, you know, probably about 60% after all of our expenses.
I had the same question.
Chief, can you expand maybe a little bit on what I talked about with the ISO? And, I mean, was I correct in that we're getting outside that area and we're starting to see a higher ISO rating, and insurance companies are starting to pick up on it more? And
so we're starting to receive a lot of calls from the public wondering why their insurance is getting dropped. We had a whole slew of them up in the Fiddler's Canyon area just because of the wildland issue that we've been facing. Chief Schertz has been dealing with developers that they come in, they build a subdivision, they come in to try to get insurance on their home. They can't get insurance, so then they can't get the loan. It's kind of a vicious cycle, so he's been hearing that from them. If you look at everything from the hump in South Mountain, and that hump in the road on South Mountain Drive, south and southwest of that is all out of the 5-mile radius. And so, yes, the insurance company's catching on to, they're no longer that class 3 that Cedar City has. They're looking at saying, oh, you're more than 5 road miles from a fire station, we won't insure you. And so we're seeing more and more complaints about that. And I don't know if Chief Schertz, if you want to add in, you've been dealing with most of the developers. That sum it up for what you've been hearing?
Yeah.
Chief, do you believe there's ever an opportunity in that same vein of sitting down with a conglomerate of development companies and saying, look, you're all developing out here, you have a project over here, you have one over here, we need to pull some resources here to help get something funded, or your developments aren't going to happen because they can't get insured?
Yeah, so they all say, hey, we pay impact fees.
I know.
And so until the city decides to take that philosophy that we're going to start, those developers that develop outside that area, we make a bubble. Councilman Milling kind of suggested that we just make a bubble and say, outside this area, if you want services, you need to pay for them.
Okay. Thank you.
Pay for them through higher impact fees or pay for them? You're not
Sorry, pay for them through higher impact fees or pay for them through some other means?
So, like, for instance, what was that, Paul?
Why wouldn't it be impact fees?
10, 15 years ago, Cordero came and had a huge development that was on the southwest out towards Quitchapon. They came to us and said, hey, we'll give you $1 million for a future fire station. That type of thing is what's been suggested.
Fire department impact fees don't really stretch that far when you...
Teeny.
When you see the cost of a ladder truck and a firehouse, those impact fees.
But aren't we restricted, as I understand, on what we can charge for the fire impact fees by some mechanism? I thought we
changed that. You can charge for buildings, you can charge for land acquisition, you can charge for trucks over $500,000, which for these guys, that's most of their fleet.
Every truck, even a water truck is $666. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Even with all of that in our study, They still don't go very far.
Yeah. Would you address just a moment retention? How are things with staff?
So as far as our full-time staff, they're doing good. They seem to stay. They work other jobs, and so they're happy that way. Our volunteers, We run them through our recruit academy. They stay for a few years. They find out they love doing the fire job.
And they get a full-time job somewhere else.
Then they are around a little bit for us. Some of them move on. We've, out of this last recruit academy, we've lost three of them in the last couple weeks to their graduating school, so now they're leaving. One of them's getting a job with Unified Fire, so he's going to leave us too. So,
yeah.
But that's what you expect when you have a volunteer staff. There's nothing here
right
for them to stay here.
Well, you're up there, Chief, and you kind of mentioned Unified, so that made me think of this. I know the county had budgeted for a study. What do we expect in the rest of this remaining calendar year to see? Will we hear about that study in the direction of looking at the feasibility of a district fire instead of a city fire?
Yeah, so the fire district study, I know the county funded that through a grant through the 5 county, correct, I think? And they're the one running the study. I know it started. I don't know where it's at. I haven't abreast of anywhere where it's at in the process.
I don't know either. I talked to them the other day, and they are doing that. They also have built several fire stations, like Newcastle's,
yes,
which are just metal buildings that are way, way cheaper. And I'd like you to think about maybe that as an option to the $10 million edifice to a $1 million metal building when you come to talk budget with me.
Okay.
And it's not it's not the building, it's the staff that has to go in it. You want 12 people in it, and
yeah, the ongoing staff is
that's always the expensive part.
The personnel side of it. You have the one-time cost of the facility, but then it's the maintenance of that facility with the personnel.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's $1 million every year.
Thank you. Anybody else have questions for the chief?
Nope. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor, council, staff, thank you. Chief Adams with the police department. So I won't say much more other than to direct you to what you've received in the budget. As you know, we've gone to great lengths to provide scientific and factual data as you make decisions. The strategic recruitment and retention study that the Chief Roden spent a month and a half putting together, I appreciate his efforts because it really does dive into the data on recruitment and retention, not only those we've lost and how we can hopefully retain, but ways to recruit good talent and keep people here long term. And then I also sent you the staffing study, which will be more considered and more discussed next week when Dr. Frisch is here to answer any questions you have.
Great.
So there again, I know that there is a proposal that Mr. Benton will bring forward regarding a wage study, and I just ask that you prioritize that. It's been 10 years since the city's conducted one of those, which is far too long, and when you talk about recruitment and retention, that is a vital part of that, is the mm-hmm. competitive wage study. I know that there are places around that we cannot compete with, but Chief Roden's done a good job really trying to reach out and find good talent to vet them. I think there were three in the last week that we wanted, that we were going to hire, and within a day or so they called back and said, I just can't make it work, and that was largely pay. And these are certified officers, lateral officers, that want to come to Cedar City but just can't make it work. One trooper that is deciding whether or not to come, he's got 8 months experience, he's not even off training yet, he's making $36 an hour, and we start our officers at 25 and a half. So just things to consider when we're competing with everybody around the state and
yeah.
what that looks like needs to be a priority. Any questions on anything?
No, just that we do appreciate all that you do and in what you have to deal with each and every day. Your officers on patrol get to see the underbelly that we don't often see, and we appreciate their commitment to keep working to make us all feel safe in our community. So thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate your support. You see the stats and things we provide, what I don't provide, and I don't know that you want to hear about is the stuff that goes behind the scenes and the
Absolutely.
Things that they deal with that, that get us to a result. And they are very good at what they do. I'm very proud of them, and we are very blessed to have such good staff. So, okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief. Mayor, can you really quick, or Paul or somebody, so from here as far as budget stuff and as we move into budget cycle, you'll start meeting. Can you kind of give us a timeline? You start meeting
Monday.
With them. Huh?
Monday.
We meet with departments all next week.
Okay.
Through the month of April.
Thursday and Friday.
Somehow we'll produce a tentative budget. It'll be presented to you in early May. You'll have the department heads all present to you in early May.
Yep.
You'll have the month of May to ruminate and do whatever you want to do with the tentative budget, and by the middle of June, we'll ask you to adopt a final budget.
Okay. Renan, you and I talked about it. When should we expect the whole, or is that going to just end up in our drive? Okay. I'm assuming the whole council, I would like to see the original.
Oh, absolutely.
The original, the whole booklet, the original requests, the original requests from all the individual departments.
Yeah, so we're going to be using them next week, so give us a couple weeks, we'll get them to you.
Okay.
I would appreciate, Mayor and Mr. Bittman, when you can, to look at those couple of days in May sooner than later. I have
are they already scheduled?
They're already scheduled.
Oh,
are they?
On our
6th and 7th.
Oh, thank you.
6th and 7th of May.
Thank you for having that right on the top of your head, Renan. Appreciate it. Okay. I knew it was in May. I just want to make
Tuesday,
sure.
Tuesday, Wednesday.
All right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's usually half a day each day, right?
So it's the morning half?
1 to 5. And then on the Wednesday, we obviously go straight.
Yep, they're sure there. Thank you. Does council have anything else that they would like to bring before the mayor or anyone today?
I'm good.
Okay.
Staff?
I think.
Good to go. Start the budget meetings Monday morning. I have a motion.
Motion to adjourn the special council staff retreat.